Father's Days of offering the opportunity to share a testimony by some brave and willing volunteers. This year, I got to be a part of that planning process in which we kind of come up with a theme. Now, Troy really wanted a theme, What's Wrong with Brian Ralston? That was what he was pushing for, wanted these fine women to come up and speak on What's Wrong with Brian. But I thankfully was able to dissuade him of that. Joel and I had great influence over Troy this year. So the theme is kind of what you have seen in your life that shows God's grace. How has God's grace shown up in your life? And so we prayed about it. We asked some volunteers who were willing, thankfully. And so we're going to pray for Jenny, however you know her. We're going to pray for Jen Thompson and for Dottie, and they're going to come up. Jen's going to be first, and she's going to share, and then after Jen, Dottie will just come on up. And so let me pray for them, as it takes a lot of courage to do this, and the Lord will provide that courage. And we just thank them so much for their faithfulness at trusting the Lord and stepping forth this morning and sharing about God's grace in their lives. It'll be a pretty amazing time for us this morning. So let's pray. God, we thank you for these two brave women. We thank you for Jen and for Dottie. We thank you for who they are in Christ and who they are in your church family here at Escalon Presbyterian. We thank you for giving them this week the inspiration, the encouragement to put thoughts on paper, to be led to share this morning about your grace in their lives. We thank you for how you've led them, how you've empowered them. And Lord, we just pray now that you would calm their hearts and provide the courage they need, the strength they need, and the focus they need to share the words you've put on their hearts this morning. I thank you for them. I thank you for the Holy Spirit's power in them. I thank you, Lord, that you've not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but you've given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. This morning, let that power be felt through your servants, through Jen and through Dottie. Let that love be shared, and let your grace be evident in them as they share the words you've placed on their hearts. We thank you for them, Lord, and we ask your blessing. In your name we pray. Amen. Jen is first.
Good morning. I wasn't quite sure why I got asked, and then I saw Dottie was speaking after me, so I realized I am the comic relief this morning. So good morning, my name is Jenny Thompson, and despite the last name, I am not part of the giant Thompson clan, although I'm pretty sure I'm unofficially adopted. I have been married to my husband, Chris, for 11 and a half years, and we have a 4-year-old son, Joey. Believe it or not, I am not into the whole public speaking thing. Hate it, honestly. The only reason I'm able to still be up here is because I'm picturing all of you wearing chicken suits right now. But despite that reluctance, I really wanted to speak on Mother's Day last year. I don't remember what the theme was, but I had a whole speech, perfectly prepared, and then I didn't get asked, so it was going to be awesome, trust me. Instead, God had other plans for me and decided I should speak on this year's topic, God's grace, and how I've seen it in my own life. Joel called me up last week and asked if I would do it, and I said yes. I mean, have you ever tried to say no to Joel before? I was already texting with my cousin Samantha, and I told her the news. Her response was, "You can do it," or you could respectfully say no thank you. Yeah, it was a little too late for that, and instead I had a mini freak out in my head. I didn't even know what God's grace really was. So of course, like any good millennial, I Googled it. The dictionary has a lot of definitions of grace. There's the simple elegance or refinement of movement. She moved through the water with effortless grace. There's the short prayer of thanks said before a meal. We always say grace before we eat. There's even the period officially allowed for payment of a sum due, the grace period before late fees are added. I work at the city. But God's grace has its own definition. The free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. In layman's terms, grace is God blessing us even though we don't deserve it. To give you a little background on my Christian faith, I grew up in the church, this church. My dad considers himself agnostic, but my grammy and papa would bring me every Sunday. I went to Calvin Crest during the summers and youth group during the week. I remember accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was a camper in Sherwood Forest, my cabin counselor helping me pray the words. I was even the youth director here for a time. I am a Christian and have been for as long as I remember. I've been an elder, a deacon, and a choir member, but I am also a sinner. I went to high school parties and drank while underage. I snuck out and met up with my boyfriend. Shh, don't tell Grammy. I have lied, I have cheated, and I have stolen. I know it's hard to believe, but I am not perfect. And because of those sins, because of those transgressions, there are those that may think that the bad things that happened in their lives were justified, God punishing us for going against his commandments, or that we were unworthy of anything good happening in our lives. I know that I have felt that way often on my entire life, unworthy. But that is not how God works, or grace. Jeremiah 31:34 says, "No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the greatest of these to the least, declares the Lord, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." That is grace. God doesn't just forgive us our sins, he forgets them. Then he blesses us beyond belief just for being his children, not because of anything we have or haven't done. While doing my Googling, I came across an interesting concept. The writer stated that there are two main reasons we as humans are motivated to forgive others and show them grace. The first is that natural man is motivated to be gracious because man is aware that he's just as guilty as the person in need of grace. The second is that the natural man forgives others because he often only knows a small piece of all the other person is actually guilty of. But God is not motivated by either of these reasons. He has no sins to compare to ours, and he knows everything we have ever done, and yet he still blesses us. And I have been blessed. He has given me an amazing husband who supports me and works every day to make me happy. He has given me a son who, although he wears me out most days, is more than I could have ever asked for or dreamed of. I have a great job, a nice car to drive, a beautiful house to live in, and friends and family around me who love me. I am blessed. And that is all thanks to God's grace in my life. I have done things in my life that sometimes seem unforgivable, but that word does not exist for God. He forgives, he forgets, and then he gives us the greatest blessing of all, salvation through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. So yes, I am a sinner, and probably always will be in one way or another. I don't always talk to my husband the way I should, and curse words have been known to come out of my mouth, and I lie to my kid. A lot. But I am also saved. Romans 6:14 says, "Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. God chooses to look past my sins and show me grace, not because I deserve it, but because he knows I need it and that I'm worth it. Because every time he shows me his grace, he helps me piece my brokenness back together so that I can, in turn, live my life praising his name and thanking him for all of the many blessings in my life." Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Dottie Wood. That's going to be a tough act to follow. My beautiful family's over here. And it is an honor and a really scary thing to talk to you today. When Joel asked me to speak about God's grace on his Mother's Day, I had to pray about it because speaking in front of my peers is really stepping out of my comfort zone. It is much different than being an English teacher or counselor and addressing students on a daily basis, which I did for years. While praying, I came to realize what an honor it is to speak about God, and that my biggest worry was really how to do him justice. His abundant grace has been so evident throughout my entire life that I can only try. My next concern was the subject itself. God's grace is so big. It made me think of this quote by Albert Einstein. "There are only two ways to live your life. One, as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. I believe it is exactly the same way with God's grace, because all that I am, all that I have, and all that awaits me is because of God's grace. We only need to pay attention to our senses to appreciate the bounty that God has provided for us. And what better day to reflect on his gifts than this Mother's Day? In typical English teacher fashion, I looked up the definition of grace, much like Jen did, in order to have a base from which to begin. The one I liked best came from Christianity.com, which stated the following: to get something that is undeserved. The greatest example of grace is the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. I like this definition because it clarified that God's sacrifice of his Son for our sins is undeniably the greatest example of grace, and it emphasized that all that we have been given is undeserved. I would like to give you a brief glimpse of how I have experienced God's grace. The following verse by Paul in Romans 5, 2 through 5, perhaps best provides the framework of my life. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And while it seems counterintuitive to rejoice in suffering, suffering is inevitable. It has shaped who I've become and has strengthened my faith exponentially. Through the years, I have learned to depend on God's grace and to hope through the hurts. I was born in Germany to German parents, and while I had a rather dysfunctional childhood, my mom taught me to pray from the time I was a little girl. When I was only 5 years old, I was placed temporarily into an orphanage, but it just so happened that the institution was on the top of a hill surrounded by a huge forest. It was there that I learned to love and connect with nature, and it is in nature where I still feel closest to God. While the people in my life had abandoned me, God held on to me with all his might. He made his presence known to me most profoundly, however, when I was maybe 7 years old, after I had been reunited with my mom. In our little town, I usually took my two younger brothers with me to our centuries-old Lutheran church with a big organ and stained glass windows, much like this one. But on this particular Sunday, I went to church alone. Undisturbed, I studied the beautiful windows and Jesus on the large weathered wooden cross. When the organ began, the church filled with the voices of all my neighbors, just ordinary townspeople, some of whom also made up our choir, all of whom I had heard before. But on that special day, the sound was almost angelic. It resonated in my heart because it was so rich and powerful, yet also joyful and ethereal. I was mesmerized as I felt a light inside of me unlike I had ever known before, and I'm certain that it was my first awareness of the Holy Spirit, God's presence in me. This was the first sublime moment in my life, granted to me by God's grace. I would draw from it many times over the years and continue to do so. When I was 11 years old, my mom married an American soldier who brought our family to the United States. Although I was afraid to leave behind all that had been familiar, God came with me and provided me with an eternal sense of belonging, even in a strange and unfamiliar land. He had helped me to experience a sense of adventure that I possess to this day. I remember thinking about how blessed I was when I made my citizenship in a courtroom full of other immigrants, many of whom were refugees. I was so proud to become an American and felt tremendous loyalty to my new country. God's grace also provided me with the love of my life, the man who was one of two witnesses necessary in order for me to receive my citizenship. Tom and I met in a Wiener Schnitzel, of all places, and during his breaks, He would sit in the back of the restaurant and draw sketches. He had been given an incredible artistic talent that both of our daughters inherited. He would compose songs for me and write love letters during class when we were going to college. The day we got married and he held me in his arms during our first dance together, I experienced the second sublime moment in my life. Together we were blessed with three beautiful, healthy children, my two daughters, Natalie and Katie, and my son, Tommy. It was easy to see we were blessed with children. It is easy to say that we were blessed with children, but it is such a common expression, it does not begin to experience, to express the experience of becoming a parent. Those of you who have children know that words fall miserably short when we describe the emotions we experience when we first learn that we are going to have a child. Excitement, awe, and fear do not even come close, but are usually mixed in there somewhere. Then comes the miracle of birth itself. God could have simply created more humans, like he did Adam and Eve, but instead, he gave us one of the greatest gifts of all, to love someone else more than we love ourselves, and to do it unconditionally. While childbirth is incredibly painful, and it truly is labor to bring a child into the world, all that is forgotten the moment the parents see the creation of their own making, with God's help, of course. God knew it would take that investment for us to understand how great his love is for us, and still, ours pales in comparison. Tom and I were so young when we had our girls. Natalie was born on my 22nd birthday and Katie 2.5 years later. We were incredibly thankful that they fit the description, sugar and spice, and everything nice. We said prayers, read bedtime stories, and marked each of their achievements and milestones in their baby books. Tom quickly climbed the corporate ladder while I decided to give up my office manager job to open up my own childcare so I could stay home with our girls. I was 29 years old when I became pregnant with Tommy. When I was only 20 weeks along, I went into premature labor due to a large fibroid tumor. I was ordered on bed rest, but with our two young girls at home, as well as my four very active childcare children, rest was hard to come by. I went into labor again at 24 weeks, and this time the doctor was not going to let me come home unless I stayed in bed 24/7. Tom's mom came to care for our little family, and our son Tommy was born a week within his due date. Perhaps because of the tenuous nature of my pregnancy with him, I truly marveled at and appreciated his perfection. After Tom left to his mom to bring his mom and our girls to the hospital, the nurse came into my room and placed Tommy on my chest. How might this miracle baby change the world, I asked myself, as I thanked God with all of the love I felt in my heart. Later, God's grace carried our family through Tom's diagnosis of end-stage liver disease due to hepatitis C when he was only 36 years old, and his subsequent liver transplant. I learned to appreciate life differently, and even more when I knew that Tom's depended on another person losing theirs. God had seen me through every single obstacle in my life, but when Tommy died at the age of 11 due to a boating accident when he was fishing in a canoe with his father, I turned my back on God. I withdrew my love and railed against him, but he did not give up on me. He was steadfast in his love for me in ways that would take far too long to describe here. Finally, I came to realize that Tommy's life had been precarious from the start, and that I might not ever have known my boy at all. It was because of God's grace that I was given 11 years of pure adventure and a mischievous smile I will never forget. Tom joined our boy in heaven not even 6 months later, and there was much grace in that as well. Because he had survived the accident despite his ill health, and Tommy had not, he carried a tremendous burden of which he was finally relieved. My daughters, despite their indescribable losses at such a young age, and the eternal battles they have had to face, went on to become amazing adults because of God's grace. My oldest, Natalie, has her PhD in psychology and spends her days helping people with mental afflictions. Katie, who has truly inherited her gift of art from her father, brings joy to so many through her tremendous talent, while also being an incredible mom to Rosie and wife to her husband, Ryan, who cherishes his girls and whom I've grown to love more with each passing year. Both of my girls also have their father's musical gift, and one of my greatest joys is to hear them belt out our favorite tunes together. God's grace continues to shine in their lives. Rosie, Katie's first child, who most of you know, has brought a joy into my life that I thought I might have lost forever. And while there will always be a void in my heart, I am happier than I had ever thought I could ever feel again. God recognized how much I needed this beautiful treasure. I have also had some major health issues, which many of you know about, due to an accident 8 years ago. And while it cost me physically after a number of serious back surgeries and a close call when I contracted an almost deadly staph infection, it made me be still for the first time in my life, long enough to hear God speak to me, to instill a peace in me and confidence in his goodness and grace that might otherwise have escaped me. Last year, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma in the bones. I was preparing myself to see my boy most of all, but the chemotherapy treatments were successful, and instead, I will be here to welcome my new little grandson in July. God's grace. I'm sorry. God's grace has seen me through it all. He blessed me with the greatest joys imaginable and carried me also through the deepest sorrows. In closing, I found this verse from Hebrews 4:16 to be the most fitting. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thank you so much.
Such courage. Thank you so much for sharing and living God's grace in front of us today. We so appreciate that. And as you've heard, God's grace carries you through all things, from salvation all the way through life and all the way through hurts and sorrows and suffering and through to joy again. That's what God's grace does. It's not just for the beginning of our Christian walk. It's for every day of our Christian walk. That's what we're going to celebrate as we close today with amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Not only that saved a wretch like me, but that preserves us and carries us through every day till that glorious day when we'll be with the Lord and those that we've lost and loved forever. Would you stand with us as we sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound?